SBS Radio.
Two people were charged over a death of an Indigenous toddler in Cairns. Indigenous students have been making some of the best improvements in NAPLAN tests. And in sports, Ashleigh Barty has advanced to the third round of the Qatar Open. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Šárka Pechová. A childcare worker and a bus driver were charged with the manslaughter of a three-year-old Indigenous kid left in a kindergarten bus. It's alleged the three-year-old boy was left unattended for 4 hours in a bus that was due to take him to the Good Start and Early Learning Centre. He was allegedly still strapped to the seat when he was discovered in the van, with temperatures soaring above 30 degrees on the day. The childcare employee and the man who was driving the minibus appeared in court yesterday, charged with manslaughter. They have both been granted bail. Australia's first ever Indigenous treasurer at either a state and federal level announced yesterday his plan to quit politics. Western Australian Treasurer Ben Wyatt plans to step down from his state treasurer role for family reasons next year. He announced yesterday.
My family has experienced a personal health issue over this term, which prompted this consideration and the kind of future that I want to have with my family. While I don't intend to go into the finer details of these experiences, today I am announcing that I have decided not to stand as a candidate in the 2021 state election. And I understand that this announcement presents the Premier with a decision to make about my future in his cabinet, and I've discussed this at length with the Premier. And as a result of these discussions, I will be continuing in my roles as a minister in the McGowan government until the state election.
Political analyst Harry Phillips told AAP it was a sad day in politics, but it was difficult to measure how Mr. Wyatt's departure might affect the forthcoming election. WA Premier Mark McGowan described Mr. Wyatt as an outstanding treasurer. He tweeted that Mr. Wyatt's contribution to the WA Labour Party and the state of Western Australia has been extremely significant. He continued that Mr. Wyatt has made his mark and he can be very proud. Mr. Wyatt will continue as the state treasurer and minister for finance, Aboriginal affairs and lands for the remainder of his term. Indigenous students have been making some of the best improvements in NAPLAN tests, new report reveals. The report noted a positive trend in Indigenous students' results, their rate of improvement doubling since NAPLAN began in 2008. However, Indigenous students were still far worse off than the general population in many tested areas. The Australian Curriculum Assessment and Reporting Authority Chief David De Cavello says a step in the right direction has been made.
While there's a lot of room for improvement, we shouldn't be too gloomy. There's a lot of good work going on in schools and Indigenous communities around the country making good gains.
Since 2008, Indigenous students have improved significantly in reading, spelling, grammar and punctuation, numeracy and writing. Mr. De Cavello says in terms of age groups, the biggest gains across the board are being made at the primary school level.
The rate of improvement across all domains is certainly larger in the younger years, in the primary years. So year three is showing the biggest gains over the last 10 years or so. Year five, the second largest. And when you get into secondary school, the gains are still there, but they're not as pronounced.
A Victorian government plan to tackle homelessness will work towards changing housing outcomes for the Indigenous community. The $5.3 million strategy includes a private rental program and future housing investment potential. The government deal also includes the gradual transfer of 1,448 housing properties to community ownership through Aboriginal Housing Victoria. The properties are valued at more than $400 million. A report has recommended Tasmania's parliament should be increased by 10 lower house members to improve government accountability. The lower house committee found a 1998 decision to cut the House of Assembly from 35 to 25 members has left the state with too few politicians to effectively represent voters. It found the reduction has also negatively affected debate on legislation and made it difficult for opposition parties to scrutinize the government. Committee chair and state Greens leader Cassie O'Connor says MPs across the political spectrum who gave evidence agreed it was a mistake to reduce the number of members.
We would encourage both the Premier and the Leader of the Opposition to understand that there is a compelling case here for restoring the numbers.
The report also says a greater Indigenous voice in state parliament is needed and has recommended the establishment of a joint parliamentary inquiry to examine the feasibility of dedicated seats for Aboriginal people. An independent study into compulsory income management politics reveals that restricting where and how social security payments can be spent does more harm than good. According to the study, the majority of participants using the basics cards or cashless debit card reported practical difficulties making purchases and paying bills. Dr. Shelley Bielefeld, a research academic at Griffith University who took part in the study, says the cashless debit card introduced new instability into welfare recipients' lives and is more harmful to disadvantaged Indigenous people. Dr. Bielefeld says, as a society, we deserve a better welfare system.
And I think, really believe that Indigenous peoples in Australia deserve better than the cashless welfare card being forced on them. And other Australians also struggling with poverty deserve much better, because without respectful, dignified care and treatment, there is no hope for people to have lives that are meaningful, flourishing lives. There's existence and there's a struggle to exist, but there's not what we could provide as a society, and I think ethically we should provide.
Energy company Equinor scraps plans to drill for oil in the Great Australian Bight, saying the project was not commercially competitive. The decision comes after years of pressure from traditional owners and environmental activists. David Ritter, Chief Executive Officer, Greenpeace Australia Pacific, told NITV Radio.
This announcement by Equinor is an incredible win for people power and for nature, and it comes after years of relentless campaigning by coastal communities, by Indigenous groups, surfers, the seafood industry, other local businesses, you name it. What is really clear is that you should never doubt the power and determination of the Australian people who wanted to protect our great Australian bight.
Mining elder Buna Lori told NITV that it was a great win, but warned activists not to let their guard down.
When the pockets get empty with money, or the bank box is going to go down, yeah, but guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be looking, oh yes, why don't we get that oil out of there, you know? So we don't trust anybody, because while there's something, they know there's something there that's valuable to make money, you know, but we're gonna fight all the time.
Even though there has been sustained pressure from activists and court action, the federal government insists Equinor's cancellation is a purely a commercial move. Federal Resources Minister Keith Pitt says the Norwegian company Equinor had to make a business decision when abandoning all exploration in the Great Australian Bight. Minister Pitt says the end of the plan is disappointing for many and particularly hard for South Australia.
But as I've said, this is a frontier area. It is difficult, it's deep, but commercial organisations make decisions based on what opportunities they have right around the world. We are in a world market.
A new policy paper has argued Australian political parties should introduce a target for the number of non-white candidates promoted in winnable seats to improve the lack of racial diversity in parliament. The document published by the China Matters think tank says Australia currently lags behind countries with similar political systems when it comes to racial diversity in politics. But the full extent of the underrepresentation is unknown due to lack of data. Report author Osmot Chu says that less than 4% of Australian federal MPs are currently from non-Anglo or European backgrounds, compared to approximately 15% in Canada and close to 10% in the United Kingdom and New Zealand. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has described the coronavirus outbreak as a global health crisis, warning the economic impacts will stretch far beyond Australia's tourism and education sectors. His comments come as a seventh person in Victoria has tested positive for the coronavirus, bringing the total number of cases in Australia to 23. The state's chief health officer, Brett Sutton, says a third passenger from the Diamond Princess cruise ship tested positive for COVID-19 after being repatriated to Victoria for treatment. Mr. Morrison says despite the government being proactive in how it's handled the health threat posed by the virus, it's having wide-ranging economic impacts.
This is affecting global supply chains. It's affecting the building industry. It's affecting the manufacturing industry. It's affecting our export industry. When planes aren't coming in, planes aren't going out. And the bellies of those planes aren't taking Australian produce into those markets. This is not like a global financial crisis. This is a global health crisis.
Globally, nearly 78,000 people have been infected in 29 countries. Chief Medical Officer Brendan Murphy says significant outbreaks of the virus outside of China are concerning.
Particularly the Republic of Korea, Italy, Japan with an ongoing outbreak. And whilst the numbers aren't very high in Iran, the death rate would suggest that the numbers are probably higher than being reported. So all of those countries are doing everything they can to contain those outbreaks, including some quite dramatic measures in the Republic of Korea and in Italy.
Overseas now. Iran is struggling to control an outbreak of coronavirus, which has so far killed at least 15 people. The country's deputy health minister and other MP have both tested positive. Iran has 95 reported cases, but the actual number is thought to be higher. Kianush Jahanapour from Iran's health ministry is predicting the virus will continue to spread.
The disease will continue to spread across various provinces. Even in provinces that it hasn't yet been seen, its trace is likely to appear soon, at least in most provinces. And the graph of infected people will be ascending.
The United States is concerned Iran could be downplaying the extent of the outbreak. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says transparency is essential.
The United States is deeply concerned by information indicating the Iranian regime may have suppressed vital details about the outbreak in that country. As of yesterday afternoon, Iran was second only to China in coronavirus deaths. All nations, including Iran, should tell the truth about the coronavirus and cooperate with international aid organizations.
The World Health Organization is concerned about the rapid spread of coronavirus in Iran, South Korea, and Italy. Italy has had 10 confirmed deaths and 322 cases of the virus. To sports now. And in tennis, Ashleigh Barty has advanced to the third round of the Qatar Open after accounting for Germany's Laura Siegmund in straight sets. Barty racked up 19 winners as she dispatched the German opponent 6-3, 6-2. In AFL, Port Adelaide's chief executive, Keith Thomas, says the club will need to make a decision by the middle of next month about whether it can play a match against St Kilda in Shanghai. The game scheduled for May 31st is in doubt because of the coronavirus outbreak. Thomas says his club has been taking advice from Australian and Chinese officials.
I think that's sort of in March, you know, is the very latest that we could go, and I would have thought it's, you know, sort of mid-March, to be honest. But if circumstances are changing and looking like they're improving, you may give it a bit more time.
Let's have a look at today's weather. Broome, partly cloudy with a top of 34. Perth, shower or two, there's a possibility of a storm with a top of 31. Adelaide, partly cloudy and 22. Melbourne, shower or two, clearing and windy, 19. Hobart, showers and 17. Albury-Wodonga, partly cloudy with a top of 28. Canberra, possible shower, windy and 30 degrees. Sydney, possible storm with a gusty cool change and top of 33. Brisbane, possible shower, top of 30. Townsville, showers, possibility of a storm and 32 degrees. Cairns, shower or two, there's a possibility of a storm and 32. Darwin also shower or two and also a possibility of a storm with a top of 33. Alice Springs is sunny with a top of 38. And Torres Strait Islands are partly cloudy. There is a chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and 29 degrees. And that's all from the news today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.